Lord, I thank you. Lord, Josephine just said she's not nervous today. So, Lord, we thank you. And I pray that you would give her even more boldness to speak the words that you have for us, the things that you've put on her heart, Lord, the word that's specific for us right here, right now, in this place. Lord, just strengthen Josephine as she teaches. And we just bless her in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay, well, the Lord, maybe I'll just leave that. The Lord laid on my heart about 6-8 weeks ago, huh, John? To teach about the refining fire, because I don't think a lot of people really understand what it does. And today was all about the fire, yeah? It was... God is so good. And even to the point where I got up this morning and the Lord said, I want you to read, the first thing I want you to read is Psalm 24, which, you know, I know my Bible, but not, I don't know my Bible. I can't quote it all the time. So I was reading this Psalm 24. It says, the earth is the Lord's and all of its fullness, and the world and those who dwell therein. He has founded it upon the seas. And this is especially the part. And established it upon the water. Who may ascend to the hill of the Lord? That's really what this is about. Or who may stand in his holy place? And it goes on and it says, he who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, even our children can be idols, can't they? I know I had to really fight that when I moved to Colorado, that my kids, I had to leave my kids. And nor sworn deceitfully, so always telling the truth, he shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, Selah. Lift up your heads. This is the part I was kind of shocked. This is came right up here because my husband was wanting to play our song last night. Lift up your head, O ye gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. And who are the gates? We are. We're the gates. Because he comes in through us. So lift up your head, gates. And I really want to just talk about the refiner's fire. You know, refining gold and silver is a process. And in the very old days, they did it this way. So they would turn the heat up. I think probably starting at around 500 or 600 degrees. And then they put the gold ore into the crucible and heat it up. And it would begin to melt. And then they would turn. Well, first they had to, if there was anything that had risen to the top, because gold is the heaviest thing, then they would skim the top off. And they did this, they turned it up 50 degrees, skimmed it off the top, until it reached a point of about 2,000 degrees. That's really hot. And pure gold takes several times when you have to skim it off the top. And the Lord says in his word, here it is, here's Zechariah 13:9. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and I will refine them as silver is refined, and gold. I will try them as gold is tried. And they shall call on my name, and I will hear them. And I will say, this is my people. And they shall say, the Lord is my God. Malachi, and he shall sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering of righteousness. So if we want to sit on the holy hill of God. I believe we were there today. I'm probably preaching to the choir. But the heart of man is deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? God says. And that is what he tries. He even asks us to try our own hearts. You know? He says, where's that one at? He says, this is Proverbs 17:3. The refining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests hearts. So he's testing our heart to see what kind of things we have in there. And sometimes I think most of us know that stuff in there can be pretty ugly. I know. The Lord is a consuming fire. So if you want to know God, you have to get to the place where you have a clean, pure heart. And I believe that we are refined all the way up to we're called home, because there is so much stuff. And when God gave me this revelation about refining me so that I would not react to people anymore, because we react when we get something's in our heart and it's impure and they say something innocently and then you react like, oh my God, I'm so mad, or I'm so hurt, or I'm so this or that, and then they usually leave or something. But God said, instead of reacting, Josephine, I want you to respond. He said that to me like 20 years ago, and I'm still trying to respond, because it's not easy till we get the dross out of the heart and it becomes pure gold. So the Lord, the way gold is refined, what happens with us is our hearts have these impurities in it, just like the gold ore. So consider this like a hunk of stone with gold ore in it. And what happens is God comes in, like this morning, and like I said, I'm probably preaching to the choir, but if you have impurities in your heart, what will happen over the next few weeks is something's going to hook into that impurity. Something. And you're not going to understand why you're reacting that way. Why are you upset? Why are you hurt? What have you done? And the Lord expects that we will look at our own hearts, that we will take care of our own hearts. But you know, as long as I've been in the church, which is over 50 years, I don't think I've ever heard anybody preach about it. So how would we know unless we read the word? I mean, how would we know? Nobody teaches us. So even this is 2 Chronicles 32:31. Even in the matter of the envoys of the rulers of Babylon, who sent him to inquire of the wonder that had happened in the land, God left him alone to test him, that he might know what was in his heart. So he's not doing things to this person to, you know, let him know what's in their hearts. He knows already. But to let him know what's in his heart. And so God does these things, and he wants us to see that our hearts have impurities in them. And he wants us to become the bride without spot or wrinkle. And I believe those equate to impurities in our heart. So James 1, 2, and 3 says, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance." Who needs endurance? I don't know that I do. So test yourself, and you all know I do. So test yourselves to see. This is 2 Corinthians 13:5. Test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourself, or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus is in you, unless indeed you fail the test? So he's in us, unless indeed we fail the test, huh? I want to pass all the tests. And then here's Galatians 6:4. Examine your own work, but each one must examine his own work, and then he will have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone and not in regard to another. So it doesn't matter what John and Sarah are doing. Doesn't matter what my husband's doing. Sometimes I think it does. But it matters what I'm doing. How am I handling the situation? It said, 1 Thessalonians 5:21, "But examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good." And I was thinking about that, and I was telling Pat, and he looked at everything he made, and he said it was good. Wouldn't it be nice if I could look at everything I do and say it's good and very good? Because who's it like? Jesus. Everything he did was perfect. So, you know, I know that as a group of people, I've been here about 4 or 5 years now, and that we are an extraordinary group of people. Each and every one of you is amazing. I was saved when I was 11, and I got baptized in the Spirit when I was in my early 20s. And then, because the Spirit is a fire too, and he works on us from the inside out, because, you know, we carry him around with him everywhere we go. So when God is really, really searching us, and he really, really loves us, and he wants to be closer than you can imagine, spirit to spirit, which that's like fire on fire almost, then he cleanses us more. I've been to the place where I've said, "I've had enough. I don't want anymore. I don't want to be refined anymore. I'm done." And as a matter of fact, I stayed out of church for 5 years because I thought I was done. I didn't know if I ever wanted to be around people again. But God really did a work. Now, there's several ways, you know, to test yourself. And if you notice that you're getting angry, or you notice that you're upset, or like I told John, I wish I had taught this message before we lost half of our congregation. Because I believe when you get offended and you leave a church, that you're offended and your heart isn't pure. You might have good motives. Your motives might be in the Bible. You can find them and use them the way you want to. But the thing about it is that they're going to go through it again. They're going to go through another situation. This is what I've learned in my life. If you run away from correcting what's ever in your heart, you're going to go through it again and again and again. Sometimes takes a lot of times. And then by the time you finally get it, you go, "Oh boy, I'm so sorry, I didn't understand." You know, so I would have been like amazed if somebody had taught me what that refining fire does. Oh, yeah, we love to be in the presence because it just like so just sucks us up to heaven. And but that is the spiritual fire. The closer he comes, the more we get the fire. And the more we get the fire, till we get up to 2,000 degrees or better, we still have dross. Dross in our hearts. And I remember one time I was having a problem with Patrick. And I kept thinking, I wish you'd change Patrick. And this was when we were first married, probably within the first 5 years. And one morning I got up and the whole thing was still going on. Much to my chagrin. But I sat on the edge of the bed and I said, Lord, I know I can't pray for you to change my husband. But please, God, change me so that it doesn't bother me anymore. In other words, don't let my heart react. Show me what caused it, and I can fix it. You know, if you know there's dross, you can fix it. And there's programs. There's Elijah House. There's Restoring the Foundations. There's, at Bridgeway, there was Discovery or something like that. Here, when Joni and were here, they did, what's it called? Freedom Encounters, yeah. And there's another one, I can't think of the name right now, that I took, Theophostics. I've been through all of them. I figured I want to get all that garbage. And every time I'd find new garbage. So probably, you know, we don't know what's in there because some of it's generational. When I took that class, these two very prophetic women were praying with me. And my dad, he ran away from home when he was 12 and he never went back. So I don't know a lot about my parents, grandparents on that side, really. I've learned. We found them, actually. But it's pretty bad. And his parents and stuff got involved in Mormonism. And they picked up on that. And they said, I knew it, but I didn't know it, you know? And so the one thing that I know happened when I got delivered from that generational curse was that it used to take me 20, 30 minutes to be with God, worshiping God like we did this morning. I had to work up to it. I had to, like, push it. But then after that, it was there almost immediately, within a minute or two. That kept me from God. That generational curse kept me from God. That's dross. Kept me from God all those years, and I didn't even know it. So, you know, things happen when we're children. That incident with Pat was a thing my dad did to me when I was little, and it was not a bad, bad thing. He promised me if I caught these little, what they called, hummingbird moths, that he'd give me a dollar for each one until I came back with a whole jar full of them. And then he didn't want to pay me for them. So that was a hurt in my heart. He lied to me. He deceived me. And I held it against him in my little heart that was only probably 6 or 7 years old. And I was sitting on the throne that morning. And God said, this is where that comes from. And I was shocked. But once I dealt with it, and you know, it's not hard to deal with. There's different ways. But forgiving and forgiving yourself and forgiving God if you've blamed God, you know, putting it all under the blood of Jesus Christ and knowing that he makes all things new. And that is really, of all of these things that I've taken, that's really the things that you have to do. You have to forgive, 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 forgive. And not just the people, like if you and I were having a problem, It's not just you or me. We have to forgive. We have to forgive ourselves. You know, it's easy to forgive them when you know they've done something wrong. But it's hard to forgive yourself when you know you've done something wrong. And when we examine ourselves like the Lord says to, you know, we can see it. I know when I'm angry. I know when I'm responding sharply to somebody, especially my husband. What's that? Yeah, I guess you could call it that. But anyway, you know, it is our own responsibility to, you can get, you know, Elijah House. There's a set of tapes that I know Sharon knows Elijah House. You could talk to her. I do too. And the gentleman in the back, what was your name again? Ed. Okay. I think you used to work for them, didn't you? Yeah. And those work really good. I know the first 10 years of our marriage, and you all know his background, we went to Elijah House counselor, and we went together, and we went alone. It depended, you know, who was having the problem. So we did that for a long time, and I don't exactly remember the series of dates, but we went to a conference up at Beth and Lauren Sanford's, and they were having Clyde and is her name Betty? Betty Kelstra? Betsy. And she put this poem on the overhead, and I had just a horrible divorce because I was the last one to know there was a problem. But I read that poem, and I just started weeping. And I'm not going, ah! And I knew everybody was looking at me. But she said immediately, anybody close to that woman, go and lay hands on her. She has betrayal written all over her. And I did. So those things all keep us from being able to the fullness go to where we were this morning and be there burning with him, burning in our hearts, knowing that he loves us, that he wants to consume us all. And the more he consumes of us, the more we can be with him. It's like amazing. So I hope, you know, that you all will understand that it's a process that God expected. He put it all over his word. There's lots and lots and lots of different, you know, different ones that he talks about, him being a refining fire, him being a holy fire. Deuteronomy 4:2, for the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. Hebrews 12, wherefore we receive a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence, godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. That's our birthright, to be able to be emptied up and be a pure vessel of gold. I know that when I started out, I definitely was clay. I was pretty close to the earth because I had all kinds of generational things in my life, and I had, you know, stuff that happened to me growing, moving. We moved 13 times when I was in school. And each one of us can relate to that. Each one of us has things, and maybe they're not as large and don't stand out as much. I'm going to take my sweater off. Oh, Sorry. You're going to give that to you? I'm in the fire right now. All right. I might do that. So it's a simple, simple thing. There are scriptures all over the Bible that tells us that in our soul, in our hearts, we have things. And, you know, we can continue to have them. Some new event might happen and we get offended or we get hurt or whatever. And then that causes another blemish in our heart, a spot or a wrinkle. I really think our heart, since that's where he tests us, that's the most important thing. Is your heart rate right? Is your motive correct? Did you do it for God or did you do it for yourself? It's oftentimes a difficult question. Sometimes we have to have dreams that reveal and unveil the things that God wants us to know about ourselves. He knows everything about us. It's not a surprise. He loves us anyway, just like we love our kids and our husbands and our wives. We know their faults. At least we know a lot of them, but we still love them. It's unconditional. We love them. So the Lord wants us to start being responsible. Responsible. We're not babes anymore. We're not teenagers anymore. We are adults, and we need to be responsible for checking our own hearts, knowing the condition of our hearts. You know, this is a great church, and you all are wonderful. I've been here now about 4 or 5 years, and I've been in churches for 55, 56 years, and there's not another church that I know of like this one. There's so much love and so much beautiful hearts here, but still, we still have issues in our homes with our kids. I know I still have issues with my daughter, especially my daughter, because, you know, she was always a hard, she always had a hard way she wanted to travel, and she wouldn't hear. She didn't have ears to hear. So I don't know how many of you know about her, but she finally came down with 4-stage kidney disease because of drugs. She was a heroin addict. And the Lord, I believe she's only alive because of him. Only because of him. But she's now on kidney dialysis and she's living down with her dad, who's not saved really. So I have to believe that God's going to touch her. She still says things to me, but I try not to respond, you know, react to her. I try not to say, well, I didn't say that. You know, I just kind of listen. And sometimes that's the way that we have to respond, is by just listening. If we don't, we just listen, we can get their heart on it. And then maybe understand their motive and not, you know, get offended. So it's a really simple message. It's not very long. But if anybody wants prayer this morning for understanding, if you want references, restoring the foundations, is we went through that 10 years of counseling with Elijah House, and I'm sure we could have done more there. But we got exposed to restoring the foundations, and we did that. You know, we did Discovery at Bridgeway. We did the one here. Anytime I can get an opportunity to make my heart pure, I have just jumped into the fire, so to speak, like a moth to the flame. Take all of that dross out of me, Lord. That's my prayer always. And, you know, I don't know how much longer I have here. I could live a lot longer, 30 years maybe, but I'm almost 70. So I know it's probably not going to be too much longer and not, you know, 50 years away. So I know that when I get to heaven, my motive is to be so close to God that there's this little flame right there, right behind Jesus and the Father. And I'm right there burning for him. That's my heart's desire. It has been for a long, long time. And I used to always sign my letters and things in the rhythm of God's heart, because that's what I wanted to be, was right there in the rhythm of his heart. And where it beat, I wanted to beat. Wherever he went, I wanted to go. And please don't send me to Africa. No. No, that's not right. But I am very, I have fears. You pray for me. We were invited to go to India about, 8 years ago. A pastor from India. They called him Pastor P because his name was that long and I couldn't pronounce it, that's for sure. But he said, come and see us. You know, we would love to have you. And Pat and I did worship at a house church. And I said, I don't think so. And my fears at that time were that I couldn't walk everywhere because I had, you know, I had my knees operated on. And they're still weak. And so I still have fears, even though I've had my knees operated on. I don't have the stamina I had. And instead of like the guy who carried the cross and they told him he was going to die if he went with the cross, he picked up his cross and he went. He didn't care if he died on the way. I haven't made it there. I still love my life too much. So, you know, and that's probably dross in there. I didn't expect to get quite so personal this morning. But I know you guys, and each and every one of you is such a loving being. You have hearts that are pure. I think it was Joyce that gave a dream she had about seeing people in this church that were so almost transparent, but you could still see them. And I think that when we get that to that place, that we're just not hardly visible anymore in the world's eyes, but in spiritual eyes, we burn. We burn just like a nuclear. You said we were a nuclear. I can't remember what, but yeah. Yeah, a nuclear plant. We're small, but we are mighty, mighty, mighty. So I'd like to pray for you all this morning. I know it's short, but this is my message. Know that you are responsible for your heart. I'm not responsible for your heart. John and Sarah aren't responsible for your heart. Kirsten and Shelley and Evelyn and Brett, they're not responsible. But we are responsible. And then if you want prayer, I'd be more than happy to pray for you. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are an all-consuming fire, and that through your Son and the presence of the Holy Spirit that came, Lord, he was a fire that lit on the tops of people's heads, and we knew he had arrived. He's a fire. And Lord God, we long as a congregation, this little nucleus here longs to be nuclear. And I pray that for each and every one of us, that you would meet us right where we are. Right where we are, whatever there is in our hearts, whether, you know, I've discovered there's layers, Lord, layers and layers of things, offenses. Mine was rejection because we moved so many times. Layers and layers of rejection. And God's taken care of all of it. It was a process. It's probably been 30 years in the making. But I don't think I'm like I used to be anymore. I used to get rejected really easy, offended really easy. But God came in, and like a flood, He lifted a standard against that. And anything that we have, anything, and I know there's a lot, Lord, that's been said about offenses and illness, sickness and diseases. So, Lord, help us to become pure. Help us, these each and individual ones, each one, Lord, like me, burning for You, Lord, wanting more of You, but there's no more room in there for You to fill any more space until we get some of that dross out of our hearts. So, Lord, I pray that You will meet us, each and every one, individually. That as an individual, Lord, and You know our individuality, we each have Christ's likeness and character and nature that You placed within us from the foundation of the world. Each and every one, Lord, You know what's been added in there that doesn't belong. And I pray You will give us eyes to see, ears to hear, a heart to receive, and help us, Lord, to achieve that status of the pure and spotless bride. I'm ready to go shopping for a gown. How about y'all? I'm ready. I want to dance on the cloud of heaven. I had a vision for an album cover some years ago, and up way up above the clouds, there was a gold slick, and Jesus and I were dancing. And you could see down through little places in this gold slick, and you could see the lights of a city way down there. But He took me and He held me and leaned me over the edge, a deep, deep dip. And in total trust and admiration for the Lord, I didn't fear. He wasn't going to drop me. And it's a beautiful picture. It's a beautiful picture of, you know, a pure and spotless bride, how He loves us. And so we ask these things, Lord. Help us to become that beautiful woman that You have in Your heart. Lord, I know that might be hard for the guys, but there's no male or female in heaven, Lord. Yeah, and so we ask this in Jesus' name. It's our heart's desire to be pure. Amen.
Amen. So, yeah, that was good. It was really good. So I felt like the Lord said, you know, when she was praying that responsibility, taking responsibility for you is a fragrant offering to the Lord. And I think everybody needs to declare into the air, I'm responsible. Just say that. And if it tweaks you a little bit, it could be that you don't think that's fair. That somebody else caused the something that's in me. And if you feel that, come get some prayer about that. If you don't, great. Maybe get some more prayer. Or pray for somebody else that feels a little tweaking going on because nobody, we are, like she said, we are only responsible for what's going on here. Yeah. I'm not responsible for anybody else. Maybe I have a big mouth and maybe I said some things I shouldn't have said. Maybe I yelled at my son And, you know, with my son, that's a little bit different because they're younger, but adults are responsible for themselves. Because it's a kid that says, you know, he can't take responsibility for nothing. Noah can pee his pants and he's not at fault. According to him.
Yeah.
And so it's immaturity that says that I can't be, I'm not responsible.
And not only that, but I remember when I was in Washington, I had a lady that I wanted to compliment. And I came up to her and complimented her. I can't remember what it was about now, but I do remember her reaction. It was a reaction. She took it wrong. And the best part of my heart, I had given her a compliment, and she had been hurt by it. And I stewed over that for a long time because my intent was good, but her receiver was broken. So sometimes people get offended when there's really no reason.
Nope.
That's visible.
Right.
It's inside.
Right. All right, so everybody, go ahead, come on up.
I got to share this. We toured a gold mine, and they did some gold refining in front of us, you know, there in the little thing, and just a demonstration. And one of the things that struck me was he took this molten gold, and he poured it into this this form to make an ingot, you know. He poured it in there. He picked up this mold and dumped that gold out and reached over and picked it up with his hand, and it wasn't hot. And I said, how come you can pick it up? He said, gold is an excellent conductor. The heat just transfers right out of it. So it cools down like that. And I'm asking the Lord, how come you reminded me of that? When we have impurities in us, we retain the heat. When someone touches us, they get burned. God is calling us to be pure conductors of his heat, that heat can transfer to others and not burn them.
Man, so thank you for sharing that. Do you see in your daily interactions with people, are people getting burned? Even just a little bit. Because if so, you need to come up and get prayer. So now, repeat after me. I am responsible for me.
I am responsible for me.
Say it again. I am responsible for me. It's like we're in an AA meeting. Say it again. I am responsible for me. Amen. So if you need prayer, come up and get some.